It's Bucky and Aaron.
It's a freshly tossed salad, period. That's it. I'm not looking up anything in any dictionary. I'm allowed to say that.
Why does it have to be a tossed salad? Why can't it just be a fresh salad?
Because you toss a salad. Don't you ever see the little bongs or tongs
toss
or whatever
it,
you use?
Toss it.
You toss it around. I do that at night when I make my freshly tossed salad.
With Kingsbury?
No. I don't know. I'm not going there.
Whoever's around.
It's Monday, and I'm not going there. I'm just being straight up. When he goes by you, it'll make you turn back around.
That's right. A week from Monday, we'll be live in Frisco, Texas for Big 12 Football Media Days. And I'm not sure if it's going to be Monday or Tuesday, but Bucky will get to re-engage with his friend Cliff Kingsbury.
I know this. If he's wearing that like off-white suit again, I'm going to be very disappointed because you can't come back the next year.
Well, he'll have some of
when you're wearing an outfit like that. You know, you can't wear the same thing.
Maybe he'll wear black.
He looked good in black, like dead-up black with a white shirt, little kerchief that's white. Yeah, I'll be down with that. He'll smell like Cool Breeze like he always does, though.
But the all-black could be in honor of his last season in Lubbock.
I can't see him. I can't see my man going out like that, man.
I remember when Cliff was hired, and I said, I don't think this is an experiment. It's all on-the-job training for a guy that's never been a head coach. And he was so young, and he hired all his young coaches.
Frat boys.
But Tech fans were so excited because
they were.
They loved Cliff, and he was a great player for them, and he had just done great work with Johnny Manziel and the Aggies. But golly, man, it's not gone well on the defensive side of the ball. That's safe to say. And Pat Mahomes is gone, so we'll see what.
Yeah, they got a lot to make up right there, especially that guy.
That guy was at least 75% of that team last year, if not more, right? So yeah, we'll see. So we'll get to talk to Cliff, and it's going to be an interesting Big 12 Media Days in a couple weeks with Tom Herman's first go round, Matt Rhule at Baylor. Lincoln Riley, now the head coach at Oklahoma. It's Mike Gundy and Bill Snyder are the old guard. The rest of it's fairly new and young in the 10-team Big 12. So
it said two people died in this eating contest over the weekend. Not at that particular one, but trying to jam down hot dogs.
Well,
two people
choke?
Died. They had to probably choke to death.
Well, Trey and I did it here on Friday. It's part of one of our bets that we did, and Trey was kind of a natural at it. I thought I was going to die, man. I don't know how this.
You feel like you're going to gag it out,
dude? I could barely eat like two in a minute. I don't even think I got to two in a minute. At Joey Chestnut's putting down 11 a minute.
11
Nasty.
Hot dogs in a minute.
Yeah.
11 a minute. That's what I mean. I'm not sure that's a sport.
So your gag reflexes started to work on you. You can't take it all the way down.
Can't.
No. Really?
I
got to get better at that, man.
It's like anything else. You got to professionally train for that. That is absolutely not a sport. It is a competition and a contest.
Agreed.
But you have to train for it. And you can't just show up and start jamming hot dogs down your throat.
Well, yeah, some of these people that probably died first time at it.
I was going to say, you guys ever tried this deal before?
He's done it. I've watched him do it. And I was amazed that he did that. I think he may have done brats because he liked the big one.
No. Well, it was the very beginning, kind of like these guys in the middays. You do kind of stunts to get the thing rolling.
And sure you do.
You challenged me that I couldn't eat 50 hot dogs in an hour, to which I said, sure I can, to which I did. Now, there were no buns.
It was just
the hot dog. Just the weenie.
Oh, he just ate the weenie.
So we did a deal over at Shoal Creek Saloon.
Where we did all our deals.
Yeah, I went down to Shoal Creek Saloon. Our man Wayne showed, Hog Wild Wayne showed up and played the national anthem on his trumpet.
Before the eat-a-thon, it was great.
Did he play the Kentucky Derby song, too?
No.
But I ate all 50 of those bad boys. The wieners, though. No bread.
How long?
I had an hour.
Less than an hour.
I did it in like 40 minutes.
Wow.
I did it in like 40 minutes.
You all right? I mean, you just run straight to the...
Yeah, then I got in the car with my wife, and we drove to Houston.
Yeah. No way.
It was a Friday afternoon.
You made it all the way?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, man. Sure did.
Poor whatever relative you stayed at down there, they had a rough...
See my folks, man. That was good. It's good. Good hot dogs.
Oh, look at his stomach. People are showing their stomach.
Yeah, stop sending those pictures.
Speaking of stomach deals, I had the bubble guts on Sunday in my car. In the car. You know the car wash that you go through and you sit in the car, BK?
Oh, no.
Dude, I was in the car wash and all of a sudden it started to hit me and I was like, what am I going to do? Those things take like 5 minutes. So I'm playing music and I'm like dancing and moving in the car and the bubble guts are starting to just work on me. And I kept looking at the part and I'm going... pre-wash, and I'm going, oh, I'm like rocking in the car. And thank goodness I was on the same area at my Cedar Valley grocery that I patched out. I didn't even wait for the thing, the big dryer at the end. I'm like, and the car, and the car spun, and I did like a Tiger Woods where my rims hit the side of the wall there.
Oh.
And I got out of there so quick. I just made it, because to the world, I will never do that in my pants.
That's right. That's enough.
It's never happening. I'm not. I came close.
Yes, you're 62 now. You will at some point.
No.
Yes, you will.
I came close to getting out in the car wash and doing it right there, just backing myself.
In the car wash?
I would have.
I guess it would have cleaned it right up, right?
Yes.
Hey, let's get some headlines in here and change our conversation quickly. Ticket City Update Desk headlines brought to you by UBO of Austin, formerly Documation, now UBO Business Services. Major League Baseball, how about the 4th of July fireworks all over the big leagues, and none more than in Houston last night, or for the Astros. They were in Atlanta, opened up a quick two-game interleague series with the Braves. First time they've ever played in that stadium, and they liked it fairly well. Jose Altuve, homer, drove in four runs. Yuli Gurriel doubled twice, drove in four. George Springer, 4-for-5 with a home run. And, oh yeah, Josh Reddick finished it off with a grand slam late. Astros pound Atlanta 16-4. Houston's now won 11 of their last 14. They moved to 30 games. Over 500, they have a 16-game lead in the American League West. They're 30-9 on the road this season. Same two again tonight. In Arlington, fireworks there as well, but it was on the wrong side. It was Andrew Benintendi and the Bo Sox beating the Rangers 11-4. Benintendi 5-for-5, homered a couple of times, drove in six. That backed six scoreless innings from David Price. Boston has now got the longest win streak, active win streak in the majors, six games now. Memphis routed Round Rock 10-1 last night as the Express came back from that road trip. They had almost 13,000 in the park last night on the 4th of July. Unfortunately, the Redbirds got the victory, and then they had a great fireworks show afterwards. Redbirds and Express again tonight, 7:05. You'll hear it right here on the horn. By the way, if you missed it over the long weekend, MLB announced their all-star teams ahead of next Tuesday's Midsummer Classic in Miami, and five Astros will be headed to South Beach, including three starters, Jose Altuve at second, Carlos Correa at shortstop, and George Springer in the outfield. Starting pitchers Dallas Keuchel and Lance McCullers also chosen. They'll be South Beach bound. Keuchel won't participate, though, but he is an all-star. Of course, he's been on the disabled list. George Springer, as we mentioned. Yu Darvish, Miami bound for the Rangers. And their shortstop, Elvis Andrews, is one of five players you can vote on for the final all-star spot in the American League. NBA free agency, the top remaining free agent in this summer's class is now off the board as all-star Gordon Hayward announced last night that he will leave the Utah Jazz after seven seasons and will sign with the Boston Celtics. He'll be coached there by his former college coach at Butler. Brad Stevens is the coach of the Celtics. So Gordon Hayward off the board, headed east. And that's the news presented by UBO Business Services.
Thank you very much. The two All-American candidates at the University of Texas, one for sure, Connor, is definitely, a junior. He's done nothing but get better each and every year. But it's interesting that Malik Jefferson, people think an awful lot of this guy. They think he's got some real potential.
Sporting News ranked him as a preseason second-team All-American. Texas fans would have jumped all over that going into last year when, you follow up that great freshman year. And that, to me, is really going to be the tale of this team, is can those freshmen who were seemingly on a pace for great things, mm-hmm. who all seem to take a step backwards in the same year. And you can blame the coaching staff, the scheme, whatever. But Malik Jefferson, the corners, Holton Hill, DeAndre Davis, they both took a step back. That whole secondary took a step back last year when we saw, you thought it was going to be a strength. Can those guys turn it back? Patrick Vahe, another one, who seemingly lost his way a little bit as a sophomore.
For sure. My eyeballs will be watching him early in the season.
Well, and by all accounts, Tom Herman says Pat Vahe's had a great run with this new staff. They love him. He's working his tail off. Malik Jefferson's working his tail off. It'll be interesting to see, because we mentioned last week that I think it was Anwar Richardson over at Orange Bloods reported that he's hearing Malik Jefferson may not be a part of the four players that go up to Big 12 Media Days. I would assume if you're a media member, you want to talk to Connor Williams, who's going to be leader of the team. You'd love to talk to Shane Buechele, but I don't think he's going to go. You'd love to talk to Malik Jefferson, whoever is going to be the leader of the defense.
Well, there's got to be a DB back there somewhere that's a junior or senior.
Well, P.J. Locke's the name you hear.
Okay.
Yeah, the P.J. Locke, who has become the leader of that secondary, the safety, nickel corner, guy who can drop into the box. He's going to be a guy I think you see there, but we'll see. It hadn't been announced yet. I have not gotten official confirmation from anyone.
I don't take much of that, because Charlie wouldn't take you unless you were a senior, right? When Charlie was
Charlie's
here?
Deal was only seniors.
Okay.
But this is our first go-around with Tom Herman. We'll see. You would hope to be able to talk to Shane Buechele, but according to Tom Herman, that's still an open competition.
Well, that's a psychological deal would for me to bring Malik Jefferson and say, listen, I'm bringing you up here. My expectations are you're going to get it going this year. That's what I would be thinking. Yes. If I'm bringing one.
Well, another candidate would be a Malcolm Roach, who they really, I mean, I think Malcolm Roach, if there was a pick, if I had to make a pick of a guy who I think could be second team All-American and all Big 12, it'd be Malcolm Roach from what I saw in his freshman year. That guy who's the son of a high school coach who just thinks the game but plays with an aggression, flashed so many times last year as just a natural pass rusher and player. That's a guy Todd Orlando can get a hold of and really, I think, can go to the next level.
I wish I could honestly say, that I could say that there was somebody on defense that really just stood out, and including Malcolm Roach, that on a week-in and week-out basis that hit me, E, and said, you know what, that's something really, really special, and including Malcolm Roach. No one stood out to me. They really did. I mean.
Well, but I've got, yes, because the defense was bad. I mean, the defense was really bad. But of the bad defense,
he was the highlight, and
he was only a freshman.
Okay.
And he was the guy that was like a 3-star recruit, but came in and really just became a guy that I couldn't at least take my eyes mm-hmm. off of when he was making plays.
That's number 32, the big kid, big shoulders.
Big, broad.
Yes.
Big butt. I mean, just a sturdy player. He's 6'3 and like 270. He can hold down the edge, but he can also rush the passer. He's a guy that I just think you feel like can be that type of player. Now, if Malik comes along with that, and a guy like Anthony Wheeler at linebacker and Brecken Hager, I mean, there's names. And that's the thing we for Texas fans, on the defensive side, you keep hearing names. You want to see someone step forward and become that war daddy, as you call him, and really become a great player.
Yeah, I mean, if Roach is that guy, then that's great. Brecken Hager started to really kind of come into his own, some nice little moves on the outside. There was times where he missed tackles, he would overrun them. But his aggression, he was an aggressive player. And I think he can become a pretty good defensive end. Now, well, with Roach, I got to really, really look at him because I didn't see enough of anybody that stood out. Malik is supposed to be the guy.
Right. Well,
he's supposed to stand out.
Well, that was what was surprising about Malcolm Roach last year is he was a true freshman and you were
right out of high school, okay.
Right, and you were expecting the sophomore group
right.
to really spearhead what was going to be a much improved defense, and obviously the opposite happened. And that can go to coaching, that can go to all of it. And then Vance Bedford, of course, demoted midseason. But there were guys across the board. I mean, how about John Burt? I mean, John Burt took a step back
as a
sophomore when he looked like he was on his way. You know, so if you're Tom Herman and you and your coaching staff can get these guys back on track to go with the guys you know you can rely on, the Connor Williams of the world, they really believe in Kyle Porter, the young running back, along with Chris Warren, if he can stay healthy. You know, obviously, that'll tell the tale between, you know, what can be another – 6-7, maybe 8 win season, or you know, if everyone turns and turns the corner and they're buying into the alignment that Tom Herman is preaching and everyone's, you know, taking a step forward, well, mm-hmm. all of a sudden you're talking about maybe north of 8 wins, 9 wins, maybe 10 wins.
Possibly.
If Shane Buechele stays healthy.
It's the Big 12.
It's wide open. There's not a great team.
Hey, Bob Stoops is gone. That's right, the king of the Big 12.
That's right.
Has gone. So, I mean, it's going to be interesting.
All right, so we'll talk some Texas football. We're about 10 days out to that big event, the Big 12 Football Media Day. Speaking of big events and former Longhorns, look who's on the Bob Steak and Chop House hotline. He is former Longhorn Alex Okafor, who's got a big football camp coming up here shortly in Central Texas. Alex, how are you?
I'm doing well. How about y'all?
You're doing great, man.
Doing good. Did you have a good fourth?
Yeah, definitely. I'm actually about to go burn some of this off in a little bit.
you gotta get some workouts in, right? Shed those calories.
No question.
Hey, how are things going? I mean, your career. You're 26 years old. You're with the Saints now. Do you feel like you're about to come into your own and really, you know, just to tell me where you are with your career right now professionally?
Yeah, I think I have a great opportunity ahead of me. Been able to join a football club like the New Orleans Saints, who, you know, not only for myself but for the organization as a whole, has some big expectations on ourselves this year, and you know, it's just an exciting time to be a Saint.
Yeah, and especially on the defensive front, you got an opportunity to do some big things with them because over the last couple of years, Alex, they've kind of struggled on defense. That's been their mm-hmm. kind of shortcoming. So they're looking for somebody that can give them that spark to get it going because offensively they're fantastic still.
Mm-hmm. No, definitely, and that's one of the main reasons why I chose to come with the Saints. Just not only the opportunity to come in and be able to play and start right away, but also I know how great the offense is, and if we can just pick up the defense just a little bit, you know, we're going to be a playoff team.
We'll talk about Alex's football camp coming up, but yeah, now with the Saints, and you know, we Sean Payton's not telling us his secrets, but it does appear the actions are that this is a team that's going to try to run the ball more. You know, they traded Brandon Cooks and they brought in Adrian Peterson. They re-signed Mark Ingram. They invested in their offensive line. Obviously adding defensive pieces, but you know, one of the better things you can do to help your defense is to run the football, control the clock. This has been such a fast-paced Drew Brees offense for so long. Do you feel like that's kind of the mindset, is to you know, shorten the game, run the ball with Peterson and Ingram, and then be able to be fresher on defense, on the defensive side?
Right, definitely. We know how legendary Drew Brees is, but you know, to be able to balance that out and be able to have a solid running game that you can depend on just means everything for us at this point. And it helps everybody out on both sides of the ball just to be able to control the clock.
Now, Alec, we were talking about players at the University of Texas, and you know, we talk about the prospects of them, you know, potential and where they should be, and we're looking to see these things happen. And then we try to put them on different people. Is it on the player? Is it on the coach? Is it on the scheme? Is it on the process? Mm-hmm. For you, mm-hmm. when it all comes down to it, isn't it about what you have to do to make yourself better? When you stand out as an individual and you do those things, isn't it you when you get to the level that you're at right now? It's not about the coaches. It's the way you prepare yourself all the time?
No question. And I tell guys all the time about that. People say, oh, we're missing on prospects. The coaches aren't developing them. But those same guys are getting recruited by everybody else in the nation. So it's not that we're missing. At some point, the players got to take it upon themselves to, you know, develop into the guy and the player they want to be. And you got to carry that over into the NFL level. Nobody's there to babysit you. Nobody's there to watch over you. Either you get the job done or you don't.
Yeah, and they're always looking to you're replaceable if you're not getting that job done, because they're going to have someone in that spot. It's Alex Okafor with us here on the Horn. He's got a football camp coming up, of course, an All-American in 2011, All-Big 12, 11 and 12, and excited to have him with us talking some football. Let me ask you about Adrian Peterson. I mean, one of the quotes I read from Drew Brees is when Peterson got there, he said, "I finally found someone that works as hard and is as competitive as me." What's been your initial impression about those two guys? And you know, two guys are going to walk into the Hall of Fame when they're done.
No question, man. Drew Brees couldn't have been more spot on with that one. He puts in all the works, man. He pulls out all stops, and just his greatness is equaled by his work ethic. I just remember one time after OTAs, it might have been 2 hours after all the guys were released from practice, and I think I was getting some treatment or something like that, and I walked by the weight room, and I see him in there by himself, and I'm like, whatever year it is, whatever year, 10, 11, 10 for him, it's just ridiculous to see a vet like that still putting in that work.
Now, is he as physical as he looks to be still at this age when it comes to, you know, when he goes by you, just the way his body looks, and nothing has changed since he's come into the league body-wise?
No, he still looks like a freak. If you're playing pickup football and you just take a glance at him, you're definitely choosing him first.
That's my first pick. I haven't seen anybody play yet, but that's my guy. Hey, how's Kenny Vaccaro doing? Your former teammate at Texas, and now he's in the safety there. Good to be reunited with a former Horn.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. He's definitely one of the stars on our defense, and it's been great just to see him mature and being able to come in and have him embrace me. Not only him, the players embrace me, and just kind of see him develop into one of those leaders on the defensive end has been a good sight to see.
I know there are a lot of Saint fans here in town, and we'll be rooting for Alex Okafor and the Saints this year when the NFL gets going. You guys head to camp here in a few weeks. Tell us about the football camp that you're putting on. You went to Pflugerville High and giving back to your community. How does this work for you coming up on Saturday?
Oh, man, it's a great opportunity for me, and just a blessing that I can be able to come home and, you know, kind of mold the youth like I want to. There's not that many, you know, camps out here, and I know when I was growing up, there wasn't any NFL camps out here. So the fact that I can just come back and give the kids something that I never had just means the world to me.
And it's coming up on Saturday, and it's, according to the website, only $10 per athlete, and it's a limited space. You're going to try to keep it small. What's going to be your message in addition to helping with the skills and bringing the NFL knowledge that you have? What's what's the message to these athletes grades 4 to 12?
Put everything in perspective. Realize what's important in your life, man. Not everybody's going to make it to the college level, let alone NFL level. So always have a backup plan. Always put the work in on and off the field, because they're synonymous. What you do off the field is going to carry on to the field, and vice versa. And along with obviously getting great technique skills from me and my NFL teammates.
Okay. Well, who else? You'll be there. Who else can you name drop on?
Obviously, we'll have Kenny. Quandre Diggs is going to come through. Some of my ex-teammates from the Cardinals, Jonathan Cooper, Earl Wofford, Kareem Martin, Samaje Perine will be there, Xavier Gooden. And we'll have a few more guys that I'm still working on.
Very cool. Very cool. Alex, well, we appreciate you, man. We'll get the word out. We'll put this out and tweet it out as well. It is coming up on Saturday, July 8th. There are two sessions, the morning session for grades 4 through 8, and then the afternoons, grades 9 through 12. You can just Google Alex Okafor Football Camp, and you'll find it. It's the 2017 Youth Football Camp put on by Alex Okafor. Hey, Alex, thanks, man. We'll be rooting for you this season. Keep in touch, okay?
Thanks, Alex.
All right, thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, there he is, Alex Okafor.
Did he say Sama?
I know. That's exactly what I was thinking.
Really?
Samaje Perine!
No. That guy's not going to be there. Samaje Perine is not going
to
be there, right?
Here's what we're going to have to do. We're going to have to help, you know, tap in with Alex there and Kenny Vaccaro and try to get Samaje on the show.
Yes, because we need to straighten that out. Because I need to know how to spell his name. I need to know how to pronounce his name.
I know for Longhorn fans and Cowboy fans, it's kind of tough because Perine went to Oklahoma.
Yep.
And shattered their record books, and then now he's going to the Redskins, which you're kind of like, oh, man, I'm going to have to play against him a couple times.
I want to know how to pronounce his name.
Yeah, I got to ask him about that. I'm still mad at that actor, whatever that dude's name was that screwed his name up so bad.
Little Bighorn or something.
Joseph Coney or Michael Ealy?
Michael Ealy.
Joseph Coney.
Was him from The Wire or something? Michael Ealy?
I don't know what show he's from.
Samaje Perine!
So excited. A lot of enthusiasm in that.
Just
wrong.
So
just totally wrong.
What was better, that or
the New York J-E-T-E Jets?
No, so the Perine guy was really into it. He thought he was coming across as funny.
Well, it's not about you.
No, it's not.
It's about the kid.
It's not about you, John Travolta.
Let his mom hear the kid's name.
It's not about you, John Travolta. They asked you to do one thing. They didn't ask you to be a comedian. They asked you just to do one thing.
I mean, his mom and his grandma, everybody watching. Butcher the dude's name. I mean, that is a shame. It's a dang shame because you wanted to make it about yourself.
Right.
Hey, but hey, now he's with the Redskins. And I'll say this about Alex Okafor. I'll be rooting for him with the Saints. I mean, the Saints are a fun team, and they're in a brutal division, right? I mean, that's really
are.
That's the one thing that jumps out when you talk about the Saints and where they want to go. But I like what Sean Payton is thinking. I mean, Drew Brees is 39 years old now, right? I mean, he's you know, the back nine of his career, to say the least. But he can still fling it. He's still in great shape. He can still play.
His anticipation is still fantastic.
But so if you're in a division that includes the Carolina Panthers, who are two years removed from the Super Bowl, or one season removed, the Atlanta Falcons, who were in the Super Bowl a year ago, and a lot of people think can get back there with Matty Ice and Julio Jones and that group, and an improved defense, and then the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who are a lot of people's fancy pick to be the sleeper of the NFC with Jameis Winston. How are you gonna contend in that division? What they did in the offseason. Remember, they traded Brandon Cooks, right, to New England.
Yes, they did.
Thinking, well, why would you trade Brandon Cooks? Well, because they wanted to get more beef up front. They needed to clear. They didn't need the speed guy. They needed some beef. And then they signed Adrian Peterson, re-signed Mark Ingram, signaling that, wait a second, we're going to play better defense and pound the rock. And Drew Brees can still push the ball down the field when we need him to. But we've been built around number nine for so long. It's time to build, kind of like the Cowboys did, right? Let's make the game easy for Dak Prescott. Well, think about if you make the game easier for Drew Brees, and all of a sudden you have this strong running game. I'll ask you this, Mr. Running Backs Coach. Does Adrian Peterson still have gas in the tank?
Yes.
Or is he done?
No, yes. With what Drew Brees can do and the screen game and everything else that Adrian Peterson can do, yeah. I think he's still got 2 or 3 years left in him. That guy's a freak. Just like Alex said, guy's a freak. Just is. There's not many of those walking around like that.
Is that the best division in football?
Yes.
Any argument? Anybody got another one they want to throw out there that's a better division than that? Atlanta, Tampa, New Orleans, Carolina.
AFC South.
Houston, Tennessee, Indianapolis, and Jacksonville.
Get out of there with that.
That's a lot of
hot garbage.
About
the Patriots division? There's a lot of parity in the AFC East.
Yeah, New England and a bunch of...
Anybody's.
Bunch of mutts.
There's nothing in that. New England for the next 100 years will run that division.
You know, Miami won 10 games a year ago.
Maybe the AFC West.
But that dude at quarterback?
With the Broncos, Chiefs, Chargers, and Raiders. Maybe that. I might give the nod to those guys over the end. But, I mean, it's close. Those are clearly far and away the two best in football right now.
Well, what about the Cowboys, Giants, Redskins, Eagles?
Got to see some longevity from
some of
those
teams. Well, the reason you would put the NFC South in there is the quarterbacks, right? I mean, you're talking about Matt Ryan, Jameis Winston coming into his own, Drew Brees and Cam Newton. I mean, those are all Hall of Fame, or you know, a couple of Hall of Famers in there, and a couple of guys that are, you know, at the top of their game. So that's really where it's at, and that division makes it very, very tough when you've got to face those quarterbacks week in and week out. So I don't think you'll have another. Because you mentioned the AFC West. I mean, Kansas City's got Alex Smith. Derek Carr's the young star. Denver still doesn't have a quarterback, and the Chargers are running around with old Philip Rivers, who can still fling it. But I think it's the AFC South, or the NFC South, is the best and deepest division in pro football, which is where Alex Okafor is now playing his football.
Matty Ice.
MVP. MVP last year.
Gagger.
And Cam Newton was the MVP the year before.
That's true. So, you're right. You don't expect Cam Newton to have another bad year. He's not going to have bad. He's a good quarterback.
Remember, they went out and got him some weapons.
Yes, they
Christian
did.
Christian McCaffrey bringing the speed. I mean, they've got guys that can move, and they got big receivers. They've got now speed and weapons, and Cam Newton's got to utilize them properly. You feel like with Ron Rivera, the defense and Luke Kuechly are going to be terrific. That's a really good division. I mean, there's a lot of great players in that division.
It's going to be fun to watch. You know, yeah. We got somebody that got a $500 ticket for fireworks last night.
Ouch.
They need your lawyer. Like you're getting out of your deal, you got to have a lawyer on this one, don't you? Must be I bet it's the home association saying, hey, caught you.
We can't do it in our neighborhood, and if you know, the homeowners will come after you.
They'll go crazy, won't they?
Oh, yeah.
So your place was quiet last night?
We weren't there. But when I got home, it was fine.
I see, I live in the woods. Everybody's kind of cool. About 11:30, everything kind of ceased. I'm liking it because people had to go to work.
All right, coming up, we'll tell you about a Longhorn who has signed a big money contract in the state of Texas. Get you details on that in the NBA. Your thoughts on which division is the best and where the Saints rank in that division. Thanks to Alex Okafor. Get to that football camp. If you got a youngster that plays some football, that sounds like a great one. Coming up on Saturday out at Pflugerville High School. We'll come back. B&E on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260, streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Hey, guy on the Specs text line who made you a cherry cheesecake for your birthday last Thursday, Buck, wants to know how it was.
I partook in that bad boy on Saturday, and it's cherry throughout. It's not just cherries on the top, but the middle of the cheesecake is made out of cherry. It is so rich and so delicious. I ate a big old slab of that with regular whole milky. Oh, Joey Chestwood.
Alex Okafor got to get to the gym this morning, start shedding some of those holiday pounds.
That stuff down is delicious, and thank you very much. It is. It's the best cheesecake, the most rich cheesecake I've ever tasted. You can't go with two pieces of that, or you're going to have some problems that day.
No, you got to be careful. Because you're going to eat some of that cherry cheesecake.
You're going to have some
again to everybody that helped with Bucky's birthday last Thursday.
I'm going to eat the whole thing if I can. I mean, two pieces.
I don't know how you do that, man. You are just a gobbler.
He's Bradley Chestnut in there, man. The guy can pound the food.
Called me Kobayashi back in the day.
What happened to Kobayashi? Did he die from eating too many hot dogs? Is he out of the business?
I don't think he's dead.
It's a big controversy amongst MLE fans like myself. He kind of got banned from the event.
Was he cheating or something?
Whole deal back in the day. They wanted him to sign some contract he don't want to sign. It was a whole mess, man.
Hey, real quick on this, because you know, we said a couple years ago when the NBA signed their new collective bargaining agreement and the new TV deals were announced, and you know the contracts were going to spiral crazy out of control, and guys that you've never heard of are going to be making big money, right? Be aware of that because I mean the cap, you only got to sign 12 guys. When you have a cap of $100 million, that tells you that they've got to spend it. Let me give you some names of guys that maybe you've never heard of that just got paid this weekend. Danilo Gallinari, $65 million. $65 million. Are you a fan of his?
No.
Mr. Gallinari? Star. How about this one? Someone named Omar Caspi.
Oh, Omri Caspi.
Omri.
Come on, he's the only Israeli-born player in the history of the game. Easy. Be careful here.
He's getting
really?
$2 million. He's going to get $2 million.
Oh, yeah. He's worth more than that.
How much is he getting? Just $2 million?
Just two.
He's part of the. He's trying to make peace amongst the NBA.
Oh, he is?
We got it.
He's the only kosher keeper out there.
How about George Hill, $57 million?
Dude, that's stealing right there. George
57.
Hill. By the way, George Hill was no good even when he was with the Spurs. He's horrible.
$57
million.
It was like 18 a game last year.
How about Darren Collison? $20 million for Darren Collison.
Did he play? Where did
that's
he play?
A lot
North
of
Carolina?
Collison, UCLA.
UCLA.
Score, that's right, score.
Kevin Durant took less, by the way. Kevin Durant got a two-year deal, $53 million. But he's making about $6-8 million less a year than he could have. Now, Steph Curry signed one of those Mega Max $201 million contracts. I don't think anybody doesn't think Steph Curry, the two-time MVP, is overpaid.
Now, they're building a new facility there, which
a brand new arena.
Oh, yeah.
In San Francisco.
Yes.
In San Francisco. Paul Millsaps. Good player. Or Paul Millsap. It's not Tom Herman's.
Tom Herman.
Paul Millsap, $90 million.
Is he good? He's real good, though. I wish the Spurs would jump on him.
$90 million good?
If
I mean,
he
the market
to the Spurs,
says he was.
He's been an all-star the last 3 years. I mean, he's a solid player. Compared to some of those guys on the list, I'd say he's
If you told
that.
Me I could take him instead of LaMarcus Aldridge, I'd take him.
Oh,
I'd
absolutely.
Take Millsap.
Yeah.
Over LaMarcus?
Yes.
Otto Porter Jr.
Whoever he may be.
Get a max deal. Max deal. Like big money. The one and only Otto Porter.
Big Otto Porter.
Big Otto Porter.
What has he done lately?
He's got AIDS.
How about Kyle Lowry? $100 million. That used to be like rarefied air. Kyle Lowry's a pretty good player.
I think he's just pretty good, BK. I think that superstar deal over him is no. I don't think so.
I'm with you. He's a star. He's not close to a superstar.
$100 million. All right, there we go. There's somebody.
They have some money in the NBA.
They throw it around, don't they? And you got to know NFL players are looking back going, what
oh,
the
I know.
Heck?
You know they are.
Seriously? I can't get a guaranteed deal. These guys are getting $100 million.
Like the contracts of Steph, Lowry, and one other guy are worth the value of 20 NFL starting quarterbacks.
Oh, yeah, they are. Yeah, we're like laughing at some of the money they're making.
It's a violent sport, and there's 53 guys, not 12, and you know it's a different animal. But, yes, it does seem to be a little bit imbalanced. And I'll also say this. We weren't here to celebrate it, but July 1st, back over the weekend, was the always fun Bobby Bonilla Day. Bobby Bonilla
Day. Oh, that's right.
Speaking of great contracts and guaranteed contracts, that was the day in which every year the New York Mets have to pay Bobby Bonilla a $1.3 million check every year until 2035.
How about when that hits the mail every year? You're like out in the backyard
Woo-hoo!
And you go, oh, yeah, it's my
direct
day.
Deposit, baby.
Wow, direct deposit. You go and check out your checking account. That is so cool. How many more years do you got on that bad boy?
Until 2035.
Oh, my God,
he's
going to
be 72 making that amount of money.
Every July 1st, baby.
That's a great savings account, though, isn't it?
Where can I get one of those deals?
That is a great deal.
And that goes back to when the Mets wanted to buy him out, and they offered him a lump sum, and he actually would have taken a buyout, but his agent negotiated a deal to pay him $1 million every year till it pays off.
It's like Paul Gasol. I mean, if the Spurs would have come to me and said, hey, we need you to cut this back, I'd have been like, how much do you owe me? $16 million? I ain't cutting nothing back.
Listen, hey, July 1st, baby, every 4th of July is a good one at the Bonilla House. And he made pretty good money while he was playing, too, by the way. One other note, P.J. Tucker, former Longhorn who played college ball here at Texas, has worked his way into a nice deal with the Houston Rockets, 4 years, $32 million for P.J. Here's a quote that says, P.J. Tucker's agreement with the Rockets means he's back in Texas where he played college basketball. Coming back to Texas, he said, is everything. Honestly, this is where it all started, being in Austin. For me to get a chance to come back to Texas and play for a Texas team is huge. I'm just happy to be getting the chance. Rockets want him to bring some muscle, and he's going to be a defensive specialist. They think they can match him up with the Kawhi Leonards and the Kevin Durants of the world and get physical with him. You're not going to stop those guys, but at least make it difficult. And those are the guys they're going to try to match up with, along with Chris Paul and James Harden. And there is talk that if Carmelo Anthony gets bought out by the Knicks, that you could see Carmelo in Houston.
Let me ask you this. When is your little guy, Petey Altuve, up for his $275 million?
Who, Petey?
Yes. When does Petey start getting ready to get some real money?
Well, he's going to get paid. I mean, there's no doubt about it. And that's
they're never giving him up, right? He's never going anywhere.
Yeah, I've had good debates with this on my Astro friends. I think Jose Altuve and George Springer will play for the Astros almost all of their careers. I don't think Carlos Correa will. And people think I'm crazy. I think Correa it would be a Yankee before it's all said and done.
Going with the Judge. I'm going to go hang out with the Judge soon.
But, and that becomes the issue. One of the things we talked about with the Astros is, you know, if you start trading away your future, you got guys coming up that are going to want big money. I mean, Jose Altuve being one of them, George Springer. I mean, the year George Springer's putting together, he's going to hit 50 home runs this year potentially from the leadoff spot.
Wow.
You know, you still have two more years of control on him, but at some point you got to pay him.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're talking, and those two guys alone, Altuve and Correa, Springer, you're talking about $25 million a year. I mean, that's where the going rate is, right? When you look at Giancarlo Stanton and those guys, the contracts they're signing. So, you know, Altuve's one. What is he in right now? He's got his contract through 27. 2019 is when his contract's up, and they're getting him for $4.5 million
right goodness.
Now. I mean, he is cheap. So we'll see. But you're right. And, you know, you add Dallas Keuchel to that. Lance McCullers at some point is going to need to get paid if he continues on this trajectory. You know, that's where the Astros have to be thinking absolutely this year. But you also have to be thinking long term that, you know, can you sign all these guys big picture? You've drafted and developed just great players. But at some point, those great players want to get paid.
I saw little Petey had an. I saw him have a little commercial the other day too.
He does. He does some commercials.
He's doing commercials.
5-hour energy. Man.
He's doing 5-hour energy commercials.
Right. All over there selling hot dogs.
He's everywhere.
On the field.
Altuve is an unrestricted free agent in 2020, the offseason of 2019.
That's a payday.
So, oh yeah, and then they'll probably try to get ahead of that and see if they can get him. He's a guy that should play his whole career in Houston. And the story that is, and I think Springer is in that mold. I just think Correa's got eyes on New York. I do, and a big. Big stage, which will frustrate me. I'd love to see, don't get me wrong, I'd love to see the Astros sign all three of them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they financially can afford all that, but we'll see. All right, B&E on the horn. We'll take your thoughts on those issues. And can I mention this while you're talking about guys that are rich? You know, Wimbledon is going on. The Fortnite is underway, right? The big tennis tournament?
Yes.
And I read this story. Rafi Nadal, who just won the French Open, not only did he win the French Open earlier this spring, his 10th, turns out he was wearing a $750,000 watch while playing the final of the French Open.
I'll take that sweat and all. I don't care if it's all sweaty.
It's a Richard Mille watch, and he wore the watch while winning another French Open. Would you wear a close to $1 million watch while you're playing a sporting event?
No, I'd bank that baby. That'd be at a pawn shop somewhere.
He didn't couldn't pay that, for it. It had to have been sponsored.
Of
right?
course.
Could you leave that in the safe and like put it back on when you're done?
No, because he has six of those. Man. He's got a Rolex. He's got them all.
Yeah. Guys, this says guys, Correa is in a free agent until 2022. That's true, but that's what I'm saying. But when in 2022, he's still only going to be in his mid 20s. And I think he'll pull an A-Rod.
$700,000 watch.
While playing, not just having one. But wore it during the match.
All I got to know is it tell time. That's all I need.
What do you know the time for? I mean, you got clocks everywhere. You're playing
That's
tennis.
That's true. It's Rolex everywhere.
We'll be back. B&E on the Horn. It's 104.9. It's AM 1260. We stream it on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
All right, B&E, wrapping up a Wednesday. Here's a text on our Astros conversation at the end of the hour. They're at the end of the last segment that says, guys, it's going to be Dallas Keuchel. Dallas Keuchel will be the biggest danger for the Astros. He's a one more year of arbitration for an unrestricted free agent in 19. He'll want a King's ransom. And that's, you know, when you win, that's what you should expect. And that's kind of the point when the Astros are talking about trading young prospects for, a pitcher here. You know, do you think about holding on to a Francis Martez and some of these younger guys who you're seeing? Because you may lose Dallas Keuchel when you see what Chris Sale just signed for and what those contracts are going for. You know, maybe you pencil in Lance McCullers as your ace beyond 2019 and build behind him. You know, that's the one thing I'll say about Jeff Luhnow, their general manager, is he was in St. Louis, right? When he was the farm director and stocking the farm. And, you know, St. Louis seemed to be good every year, even though a guy like Albert Pujols would leave. They would just have young guys coming.
Right.
That was kind of the model, and I think that's going to be his model with the Astros. But it's going to be between him and Jim Crane of which guys they open up the vault for and which guys they'll allow to test the market.
Well,
and
Altuve keeps on that pace, he'll be the guy.
Well, they have to. I mean, he's absolutely.
He's a little Petey Rose. I mean, what the hell?
Little Petey Altuve, plus you got Springer and Keuchel and, you know, eventually Carlos Correa, who's going to need big contract.
He'll be with Judge in New York. Don't worry about him.
But I think the plan is going to be to keep stocking the farm and, you know, having guys ready to replace big-ticket free agents when they move on. Because there's a fine line between fan favorites and then staying fiscally responsible, big picture. Because guess what you end up being like? You're like the LA Angels, where you got a bunch of high-priced guys and not much else. And that becomes an issue long-term. But again, it's now. Their time is now. They're 30 games over 500. It's going to be interesting to see this month how Luhnow attacks the trade deadline. All right, coming up at 11 o'clock, it is Trey and BK in the mid-K. BK's been here with us all day talking NBA free agency and other issues, but Trey Elling is here. And you say that there is a big event coming up in the midday.
What's the big event, man?
Hours.
You guys recognize this pepper?
Yeah, it looks like one of my scrotum. Why?
Well, it's not a Bucky scrotum pepper. Aaron, do you recognize what this pepper is?
It's a chili pepper. It's a chili, like a red pepper. Hot, almost a chili pepper. It's one of those hot ones, though.
It's kind of a burnt orange color.
Yeah.
It's an habanero pepper that Brad Kellner has to eat in the final segment of our show today. God. He lost a hot dog eating contest bet with me on Friday. We will be Facebook Live-ing that at the end of the show, so that's going to be at about 12:50. Before that, we are speaking with Justin Wells for our usual Wednesday noontime conversation, all things Longhorns, recruiting included. They were out at the opening in Oregon last week and over the weekend, and should be a lot of fun throughout the show.
I can smell that pepper here.
Oh, it is a hot pepper. It's not the hottest pepper.
No.
I spared him the ghost pepper, but I did get the habanero pepper because he's going to have to pay the price for thinking that he could beat me in a hot dog eating contest.
BK, you got smoked.
The dude said he ate two hot dogs. That was it.
Why didn't you just give me one of those jalapenos they use at the Del Diamond? Those little cut up circle ones.
Ooh, those will get you too.
Ah, the one little cut up one versus that. That thing looks nasty.
BK, are you a spicy food guy?
Yeah, I'm a spicy food guy, but I generally don't like. Whenever they give you with those pizzas that you get, they'll give you the pepper, whatever pepper that is. I'll eat that.
I'm
no
pretty
problem.
Sure at Taco Bell, that's not the hottest of Mexican foods.
That's the fire sauce, baby.
The fire.
All right. Well, I'll be watching on Facebook Live about 12:50 this afternoon when BK.
I got to go buy a new smock for that new show that's coming on, or whatever those things you wear when you're in the kitchen.
An apron.
An apron. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Our take.
On first
listen,
take.
These guys first Chad view. And Kevin talk a lot more cooking and food than I think our three ladies will.
Look, I'm going to ask you right now. Can you tell us the three women who are going to be on that show this Saturday?
Katie Hartung.
No, not Katie Hartung. No.
Christy
Brinkley.
There will be a test
one.
On this by Friday.
Oh, no. Do I have to memorize their names?
Yes. Well, you can't even get Lyle and Casey's names right at this point. Yes. 11 o'clock on Saturdays. Jill Kasich, Stacy Sladen. And of course, Claire Brandon.
There's not a chance I can remember those by the Saturday. No chance.
I'll make note cards for
okay.
you.
Little note cards would be great.
Trey, have a great show. Match of the Horn is coming up. BK, thank you so much. Thanks to Alex Okafor for jumping on. Good conversation there. Also, all the texts and conversation throughout a busy Wednesday morning. Hey, it's already Wednesday. Have a wonderful one. We'll see you on Thursday. It's Trey and BK coming up in the midday. Orange Bloods Radio. And Chad and Kevin right to Round Rock Baseball tonight against the Memphis Redbirds. Buck, have a great one. We'll see y'all tomorrow.
Bye, y'all.